On last Friday's show, we heard an audio story produced by one of the students in a course that I taught at ISU this past semester. Today, we're going to hear another of those podcasts. The course was about equity in education, and it is for master's students who are obtaining their certification to teach secondary grades. For example, the students in the course are becoming science teachers or math or agriculture teachers. In the course, we delved into the role that education plays in perpetuating injustices in society, as well as what teachers can and should do to interrupt those injustices. One of the goals of the course was to recognize that all of us have a worldview that is based on our own limited experiences, what we call our cultural bubble. To expand their cultural bubble, students listened to a podcast series that would give them the perspective of a group that they were unfamiliar with. After listening to their selected podcast, the students had an assignment in which they produced their own podcast or radio story. Today, we are going to hear another of the radio stories produced by a student in the course. Today's story is by Catherine Williams, a master's student in agriculture education.
Hello, and welcome to the podcast. I am your host, Catherine, and thank you for tuning in. Today, we are going to be diving into an issue in agriculture that I don't believe receives much of the spotlight. But before we get there, I want us to do a quick little activity together. If you can, close your eyes, and I want you to picture the first thing that comes to mind when I say a word. Don't dwell or change your mind. Just focus on that first thing. Okay? Farmer. Some of you might have pictured the stereotypical farmer. An older man wearing overalls and a plaid shirt. Maybe has a pitchfork or a piece of straw sticking from his mouth. Some of you may have pictured an object related to farming, such as a tractor. Or some of you may have just seen the word farmer. Whatever you saw, I'm going to take a wild guess in saying that it didn't include the very topic we're going to be talking about today. So let's get to it. Over the past few years, the LGBTQ, or lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer community has been more visible in the agricultural industry. From being farm operators to leaders at the highest level of agricultural business, to changing long-lasting government statements to be more inclusive of sexual orientation, gender identity, and gender expression. The efforts we will discuss today help us to understand the obstacles people in the LGBTQ community face, but I hope by the end of this episode, you realize the amount of work that still needs to be done to improve the inclusivity of the LGBTQ community in this industry. I don't think this will come as a shock to anyone listening that the LGBTQ community hasn't necessarily been welcomed with open arms. In 2016, Seedstock.com published an article addressing this directly titled, "In the Face of Discrimination, LGBTQ farmers have hope for the future." Quotes that begin the article help us to understand what LGBTQ farmers face as people in the agriculture industry. Ryan Reed, a writer in the International Gay Rodeo Association, says, "I grew up on a family farm, but there's no place for me on the farm. The future's not there." He is directly talking about him taking over his family business. Gay and lesbian farmers Nathan Looney from Los Angeles and Ari Rosenberg from Philadelphia both also share that being LGBTQ has impacted their ability to be successful in rural agriculture. Both are urban farmers in their respective cities. All three believe that there is hope for the future and are optimistic, and about the opportunities that will become available to LGBTQ agriculturalists. But they also believe this will take time to accomplish. However, this is not to say LGBTQ agriculturalists are standing down to those that oppose them. Rather, they are trying to grow in the industry, as was indicated in the Huffington Post in 2017. In early 2017, the outspoken conservative radio host Rush Limbaugh made comments on his show claiming that lesbian farmers were a threat to America, specifically rural states. This is all in reaction to the USDA's partnership with the National Center for Lesbian Rights supporting the hashtag Rural Pride campaign. The hashtag Rural Pride campaign was developed to increase the visibility of the LGBTQ community in rural America and increase their access to services and resources available through the federal government. This initiative is one way LGBTQ advocacy is growing in the United States and is what I believe to be a stepping stone to a brighter future for agriculture as a whole. One reality that we need to start paying more attention to is that sexual orientation or gender identity don't make much of an impact on your ability to produce food, make a difference in your community from a physical labor perspective. Liz Grasnack is the owner-operator of Happy Hollow Farm in Jamestown, Missouri, where she operates a 7-acre certified organic vegetable farm. She participates in farmers markets every weekend of the year, helps make a community-supported agriculture program, or CSA, possible, and sells her produce to local grocers and restaurants each harvest season. Local farmers give tremendous opportunity to their communities through projects and services such as those from the Happy Hollow Farm, but also through donations to food pantries to help fill their shelves and with fresh produce for families that may not be able to access produce otherwise. The point I'm trying to make here is that welcoming anyone who is willing to grow food ultimately helps to produce and support the local community, regardless of who is growing that food. This also helps us to support more food for the rest of the world, too. But we're still here talking about how those in the LGBTQ community have to fight for their place in agriculture. This is where we start our discussion about social justice and what this means for the future of the agriculture industry. Culture and society have a tremendous impact on how we view other people. Sensoy and D'Angelo define culture as the norms, values, practices, patterns of communication, language, laws, customs, and meanings shared by a group of people located in a given time and place in their book, Is Everyone Really Equal? Each of us belongs to multiple cultures. Our family culture, our community culture, our regional culture, our national culture, and each of these expand out into a variety of unique cultures depending on our personal connections. From these cultures, ideas of what is normal are developed, and traditionally, people of the LGBTQ community have not been viewed as a cultural norm in the United States. But maybe times are changing for the better. I firmly believe that diversity is the key to new ideas that lead to innovations, ultimately leading to building the future. And we need a variety of minds to accomplish this. However, changing the mind of society isn't so easy. Society has helped to create dominant narratives that paint the picture of LGBTQ as different and not normal to those of us who aren't members of the LGBTQ community. Because of this, many in the LGBTQ community remain closeted to keep their jobs and generally stay safe. But what if they didn't really have to feel this way? Maybe they hold the key idea to change the future, but as we suppress them, they may never share it, and we aren't any better off than we were before. Let's see how maybe this is changing. One example of forward movement in paving the way for LGBTQ leaders is the recent promotion of Beth Ford of the Land O'Lakes Corporation to CEO in 2018. Ford, formerly COO at Land O'Lakes, is an openly gay woman and is alone in that among the leaders of Fortune 500 companies. She and Apple's Tim Cook are the only openly gay leaders currently leading Fortune 500 companies at all. What is notable about this is Land O'Lakes is one of the largest companies in the agriculture and food industries today. And through promoting Ford, they have made history and have started opening the door for the LGBTQ community to become more visible in the industry. Another global leader that is making an impact for the LGBTQ community is Bayer. Bayer, most famous for their pharmaceuticals, also has their hands in many industries, including agriculture and food. Bayer boasts that diversity is a fixed part of the corporate culture at Bayer. The company has created a community called Blend that was established by LGBTQ community employees to raise awareness of the LGBTQ issues and improve the corporate culture to help employees feel more open to share their personality and ideas. Bayer employees are encouraged to participate in a variety of celebrations for the LGBTQ community around the world as well. As for government support of LGBTQ, there are some notable highlights that should be mentioned, but there's still a lot of work to be done. Under USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack, the LGBT Emphasis Program was created and joins a family of special information and employment programs underneath the USDA for women, disabled workers, and various racial groups within the agencies and programs overseen by the USDA. Also under Vilsack's leadership, a change in the USDA's non-discrimination statement to include sexual orientation, gender identity, and gender expression was made. However, it seems that the efforts like those from Bayer and Land O'Lakes have not yet been adopted by the federal government. Today, as you scan the USDA and agency websites, there's actually very little information that can be found beyond some basic program guidelines and who to contact for more information. It also appears that these efforts have been reserved in the states of Oregon and Washington and not promoted nationwide. While this is a start, I think there's plenty of room to grow and expand these opportunities for the LGBTQ community. This is where advocacy and allies are most important. If you're not a member of the LGBTQ community, but are close to someone who is, find a way to support them. Feeling like someone has your back and is there to help you can be the only thing that is needed to kickstart critical change. Take the example of Bayer, where employees rallied around each other to create Blend. Maybe just to feel supported at an event where they want to be viewed as another person with thoughts and ideas, and they just want to share them freely without judgment. Help make this a reality in more spaces within agriculture. I hope today you have learned a little more about how the LGBTQ community is involved in agriculture and the potential impact they have in creating a brighter future for us all. We need everyone who has a passion for agriculture to join us. Why should we continue to exclude anyone from our industry? I hope this has broadened your perspective, and thank you for listening.
That was Catherine Williams, a master's student at ISU studying agriculture education. She prepared that podcast as an assignment for a course on social justice education that I taught last semester. Catherine also told me about a national group that she came across in her research. It's called Cultivating Change, and it is a nonprofit whose mission is valuing and elevating LGBT agriculturalists through advocacy, education, and community. And this organization will be having their annual national conference in Des Moines this year. The theme is Celebrating Agriculture, Celebrating People. It will be held from June 19th to the 21st, like I said, in Des Moines.